Hey, podcast listeners. If you enjoy learning about important issues affecting your world, then be sure to join us this month on WSJ.com as we explore the people and programs helping to solve America's hunger issues. This July, we're partnering with MiniUSA to defy hunger on the Mini Takes the States rally. Check out the program on WSJ.com and donate to the cause at defyhungertogether.com.
Emojis at work. Should you include that smiley face? Should you have it wink? What will that mean? What will that do to your work email? Experts have weighed in. The details coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Emojis have become unavoidable. They're all over our smartphone, our texts, our emails. And in the era of digital communication, they have undoubtedly found their way into a work email or two. But how should they be used at work? Should they ever be used at work? And is there a right and wrong way to use them? Let's get right down to it. Joining us now is Wall Street Journal reporter Dahlia Bazaz, who has the latest details on this and joins us in studio right now. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi.
So, you know, I think we're at a point where we really can't escape emojis anymore. I think even the staunchest opponents have accepted them and even use them at this point. And an interesting place that they come into play is the workforce. What does research say, first off, about how often we practice this at work?
There have been a number of surveys. The main two ones that I've focused on in my article is, number one, a very recent one done by a company called Office Team, which is a division of Robert Half International. They did a survey of over 600 different workers, which is divided into employees and senior managers, mm-hmm. At 600 different companies. And what they found was that a little over half of them had used emojis and were okay with it. More managers than workers approved emoji at work. And this wasn't a substantial sort of number over workers, but this result that more managers than workers approved of emoji at work sort of backs up an assertion in a 2014 study of emoticon use done by three Scandinavian researchers at three different universities, saying that the individuals are more likely to use a smiley face in the body of an email when making a request of a colleague. And as we know, managers are probably the ones making the most requests.
Okay, so that does make sense. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then they also say that bosses use emoticons like smiley faces to soften the imperious tone of requests, which basically means that you're trying to level yourself with the rest of your employees.
That's interesting because, you know, you mentioned because tone becomes very important in terms, not just in the workplace, but when we text someone, when we, you know, whenever we use an emoji or an emoticon of any kind. And there's always a fine line, though, right? What should we be careful of? Is there a certain protocol that we should maybe keep mind of?
Well, I interviewed Jacqueline Whitmore, who is this renowned business expert. And, you know, I initially when I started talking to her, I thought that she was going to take a more conservative stance on this because in previous articles she had been very clear about, you know, keeping email use very formal. But she actually said that she's been seeing emojis pop up in a lot of workplace communication and she thinks it can be an effective tool to make sure that you don't sound severe or sarcastic. But her tip is to just gauge your relationship with the person you're sending it to. So she wouldn't recommend using it with an employee that you've just hired or with a colleague that you've just connected with. It's more about people that you've had continued communication and contact with in the work arena. And she said it's best used in internal communications. Okay. She never uses it with people like clients on the outside of a company.
At work, we tend to, you know, we see our coworkers every day. It can sort of merge into a very casual atmosphere. Does that come into play in terms of this whole usage of emojis?
You know, the fear of appearing too casual really is most important if you are a manager. You don't want to make the line between manager and employee too thin. I think from colleague to colleague, all you have to do is be mindful of how emojis can be interpreted. Actually, this didn't make it into the final version of my story, but when I spoke to Kent Grayson, who is a professor, I noted in this article, he is with the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, and he actually went into sort of a linguistic explanation of how emojis can be interpreted as language. So just like language, certain words can take on certain connotations. So there are some emojis that have taken on cultural meme status and are really only acceptable for use in certain situations.
Like, what would some of those be, just to give an example?
Some emojis, I mean, this wouldn't be construed as offensive, but, for example, the dark moon emoji has, like, an account on Twitter with, like, 35,000 followers.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like variations of this dark moon emoji. They sometimes put it on the faces of celebrities or something like that. But the essence of what Grayson is trying to say is that within certain circles, a certain emoji might hold different significance. There's this one that looks like a grimace to me. And it's this sort of like half like smile type of thing. But it can also be like you're sort of jesting somebody. So some of them are really vague, or you know, just like putting a random object like an acorn or a winking ghost emoji. It can sort of carry different significance, and I mean winks, they can denote flirtation, or it can be like I'm joking.
Right Such an interesting article, and I'm really glad you're able to sort of further expand on the podcast. So Dahlia, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
We've been speaking to Dahlia Bazaj. You can check out more of her article at WSJ.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.